And so we've moved on in this epic journey of Royce and Leftuke on the road with respect to Southside Broadcasting and Siren FM, Midweek Drive and more. We're at the York Maze. Dylan, we made it following your sat-nav. It's fantastic. I love the way we went via Brighton.
Yes, something went wrong. I don't know what it was. I was navigating by the stars, but don't let that put you off.
In the middle of the day. Well, Bridget is already quite excited with the sort of opening sequence of the Alice Green Maze. She's been enthusiastic about the smoke machine, a variety of other things. So I think we've got Colonel's House of Corn Fusion later. Tom Piercy, the genius behind this, is currently doing some other radio duties. I know, other radio stations, difficult to believe. But he's currently working with them, doing the giant pumpkin weigh-in, so that's exciting, and presumably Bridget will be up for some pumpkin carving later.
Yeah, I mean, some of these pumpkins are massive, aren't they? So if she actually has a go at the big pumpkin, she can maybe make a full-size coach.
Nice. See what you did there? Sort of Cinderella moment, really.
Yes. Nothing like mixing your fairy tales.
Exactly. I think we're going to actually sort of go and track down Tom ourselves as the various others. So I'm beckoning Sue over to see if she's actually... You know, she's not taking any indication whatsoever as we sort of make our way into this on-location report, of course, for the fabulous York Maze 2016. What are your thoughts, Sue?
I was just actually at the entrance there looking at the wonderful little ghosty they've got in the little cash box, and it goes... Lovely.
I thought it was George Osborne for a moment, actually, but it's a heavy political point. And we've started the audio promenade. We've left Dylan and Bridget to effectively... What have we left them doing? I think they're playing in the sort of sand pit.
It's an adventure playground, Alex. But it does look really good fun, I have to say. And there looks to be lots of different things here, too. There's corn snake slides and lots of crawl on hands and knees-y type stuff and... jumping pillows and all sorts of things.
Setting the scene, we're kind of somewhere between the mineshaft maze on our right, and then on our left we've got the pumpkin carving zone, plus of course the maze itself. And you can see there something we always like to just give a little nod in the direction of: the themes of previous York mazes, hence the reason for the TARDIS. And we must get a shot of yourself by the TARDIS, so clearly it's an essential line for that. The maze this year, of course, it was Roald Dahl that was being celebrated, so we've got Roald Dahl's material appearing in all sorts of ways around the location.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, that's true. Now, I think, I see, if that is the pumpkin carving thing, maybe we should be making our way there, really. We look at the big bonfire, which is obviously due to go up on November the 5th later. And this, in many ways, something which was a spin-off from the York Maze, has become an essential part of the season. Ed, of course, not with us today, but I know Ed Wellman's particular favourite is what you can see there, the Cornmobile. Or the Cobmobile.
Very nice. Yes, I'm sure he'd look very well at the wheel of that.
I have suggested it would be some way of actually making a statement. And I see we actually have the wonderful Maze, Colonel Corn, or Maisie, I keep forgetting his name actually, Colonel there himself, who is great for interviews because he doesn't say a word, which is always great. It's a miming thing from that point of view. So we have entered the maze, we've entered the pumpkin carving area, and we're about to speak to...
Christian Russell.
Christian, good to connect with you, good self. Now, it looks as though, like all great craftspeople, you're currently actually working wonders with this pumpkin. Share with us, what are you doing?
Well, there's a big craze for clowns at the minute. Obviously, they get bad press. Yeah, they get a lot of bad press, so I'm kind of doing a Stephen King It clown.
Yeah, well, as Barnum once said, there's no such thing as bad publicity. Sue?
Well, I'm just looking at this pumpkin, and normally, you know, you're carving pumpkins with a blunt kitchen knife. Yeah. I can see here already you are far more organised and a bit more professional when it comes to your carving expertise. And indeed, I can see that from the result of the beautiful pumpkin that is being carved before us. It's huge. Are these ones better to carve than smaller ones?
Obviously you've got a lot more surface area to get work a lot more detail in. I mean, I haven't actually started on the detail yet. I'm just sort of, you get the shape and then you use your fine paring knives and your scalpels and very sharp tools to embellish it and really punch the detail out. But yeah, generally working larger you can get a lot more detail in.
So what are your top tips for any parents or children wanting to carve pumpkins this Halloween? What are your top tips for?
I don't know, mainly sort of... make sure your tools are sort of obviously children-friendly tools. Make sure you get nice clean lines in, because it gets quite bitty when you cut cut the eyes and the nose out, but getting the nice clean lines, and instead of using tea lights, just maybe sort of an LED light, which is a lot more powerful and a lot safer for children as well.
And what have been your favourite pumpkin carvings thus far this year?
Oh, what ones I've done? I did a Game of Thrones one last week. That went a bit viral on Facebook. So, that's, to be honest, that was the first one I've done this year, and this is the second one.
Well, Sue is our official tweeter as well as great interviewer, so she'll be tweeting away with respect to that. I have to say, Sue, that turning it round, I mean, if this is already just the sort of the initial phase of the whole system, we have a genius at work here.
Absolutely. I mean, clearly, carving in pumpkin must be slightly different to carving in any other medium like wood or stone. But you can already see that that's got the makings of actually something quite scary, to be honest.
For a moment, I thought he was the managing editor of Siren, but could be mistaken on that one. Who knows? Scary.
Yeah, I'll be about another 5 hours finishing it, and then it'll be all done.
Hopefully, we will return to catch up with that. Is there a way in which people can contact you online or via Facebook and so on?
I've got a Facebook group, facebook.com/allcarvedout.
I see what you did there, all carved out. Yeah. Genius. Well, we will follow through with respect to that. And obviously, I suggest that your work is not just for Halloween, it's for all year round. Do you do other sort of areas and specialities too?
No, I mean, I'm a video game artist for a living, so I sort of sit all day long being creative and working mad, macabre designs actually on the computer in 3D, so it's just transferring that digital into the real world.
And that's the kind of message of the joy of the York Maze, Sue.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see that when that's finished.
One of the great things about the York Maze is the way that Tom recruits extensively from schools, colleges, a whole range of things, and we're now about to speak to the legend that is...
Aaron.
Yeah. Aaron, where did you come from? How did you get involved with respect to York Maze?
Well, I finished university and I was just looking for a job, and I heard it's great outdoor jobs, it's good management. Like I say, it's not stuck indoors doing something you don't really want to do.
And so, what was your university? What was your course?
Sports therapy, so at Teesside University in Middlesbrough.
Well, you see, this is where the James Cook University Hospital in Teesside.
Exactly.
I feel that we need to be here to civilise the folks, so there we are. This is one of our major outputs there.
Yeah, well, it's a good hospital and it's a good place in Middlesbrough. No, I'm joking, it's really not. But
excuse me, Aaron. I've got to take issue. You may well say, if God wished to give the universe an enema, it's a way to stick the pipe. I wouldn't say that. I think Middlesbrough is doing some great stuff. Do you know, this week is Discover Middlesbrough Week.
Is it? Oh, really? I'm not sure about that.
Most people say it's at the end of the map, but yeah, no, it's there. It is actually sorted through for that. Anyway, talk us through the York Maze. Obviously, we're currently in the pumpkin tarpaulin scenario. This from experience last year just goes crazy over the next few days with children carving pumpkins and so on.
Yeah, I believe it will be packed with a couple hundred people in here in the next few days, so it's going to be pretty busy, I'm not going to lie.
And in terms of the training that you go through, because I know Tom likes to have a crack team, etc., did you manage to navigate your way through the maze?
Through the maze, yeah. Once you've done it a couple of times and you've gone through it, you get to know the routes and stuff. So, yeah, it's just practice, to be honest. You don't really have much rehearsal for it. You just have to find your way through it.
Well, that's true. It's kilo kilo. Fantastic stuff. I mean, I've just been sort of looking at some of the people you're sharing the actual pick your pumpkin with. And we've got somebody who looks as though he's been waiting for quite some time, actually, to the extent that he's lost all his skin, really. But it's fair to say there aren't too many queues at the York Maze today.
No, it's quite a quiet day today. It's the first day it's open, so we're not expecting it to be that busy. But,
And the next question is, of course, are you all set for Hallow Scream, the more adult version on an evening?
We are indeed. We've been open for a week now, so we've already done a few nights. It's been pretty busy, it's been pretty good, so we've had good reviews about that. So you yourself should come down and you'll like it.
Well, Tom keeps trying to persuade me to do that. I'm just like, oh, I don't know, we just have to wait. That might be just a tad too scary, but we will see. Dylan, I've taken you over now to see something which I think I guarantee you'll be amazed at.
I am. It's a pumpkin carved from the outside, almost as they will say with sculpture, that there's a gruesome face hidden in the pumpkin.
It's a clown's face.
Is it? Oh, right, sorry.
We only know that because we did the interview earlier. Christian, this is phase two, of course. A few minutes have passed since we last spoke to you. How's it coming on?
Yeah, it's got embellished in more detail now, like eyes and nose, punching that clown nose out. The fun part begins now.
So you mentioned you spend a lot of time designing computer games and working on that sort of basis. Which do you prefer, the real carving or the virtual world?
Ooh, probably the real world, actually. I much prefer working in this medium.
Dylan.
Yeah, are you a trained artist then, or is this something you've just picked up?
Yeah, no, I've always been an illustrator. Got a mad imagination. As I say, I've been making video games for 23 years. So it's just transferring that medium onto this medium.
Yeah. And do the two sort of cross over even more? Would you kind of have a video game with this kind of artwork in it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We do horror games, and you actually, when you build characters and that, you actually start off literally with a lump of 3D clay, and you actually work into it. Very simple.
Yeah, it's the time of year for it. What do you do the rest of the time?
Well, I say make video games for a living. Right. That's my full-time job.
So you don't come and carve Father Christmases and then spring things and that?
Yeah. I need to work something else out during the rest of the year to do. So watermelons, ice, sand.
I see Tom is just about to electrocute everybody. Don't pull on that table, Tom. No, sorry, Farmer Tom. It worked there. It's okay. It's fine. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
A trained electrician's always needed.
The excitement continues because, Sue, we're currently watching what's being done with this giant pumpkin.
Yes, they've got it on a pallet, which I assume they have factored into their calculations.
Size, weight, velocity.
Yes, and they're busy roping it up onto a weight machine with a huge teleporter, big digger, behind.
JCB, sort of thing Bridget was driving at the Countryside Live event.
Yes, and they're going to lift it, lifting it slowly up now, and they'll be checking what the weight is. I mean, it looks a very hefty pumpkin to me, but I couldn't
even... Suggest a possible winner?
I couldn't hazard a guess as to how much it weighed, to be honest.
I wonder if I can grab a few words with this gentleman who's just standing beside us. So you look as though you know your pumpkins. Your thoughts, sir?
I know that one because I'm not the gentleman who grew it.
You grew the pumpkin?
Not me. The gentleman stood at the side of me grew it.
Well, we need to have a few words with it. It's an exciting time. How did you grow it, sir?
Lots of water, I think.
Lots of water, okay. And you brought, obviously, the whole family here. It's a very proud moment as the pumpkin begins to sort of get fully sort of sorted out now.
Yeah, proud moment.
How long... presumably, your good wife here, what do you think about your husband growing this size pumpkin?
It's quite impressive. It's more impressive that he's got two of them.
Two. Sue.
Wow. As somebody who grows pumpkins, nowhere near as big as that. What's your secret to growing a really big pumpkin?
Lots of good luck, I think. Yeah.
Good luck. Okay. And your name, sir?
Oliver.
Oliver. Well, I think a fantastic stuff. And your name?
Becca.
Becca. And finally, the person who knows Oliver and Becca.
Mark.
Mark. Okay. Well, it's an auspicious time. Sue, any final thoughts?
I wish I could grow my pumpkins that big. Although it's what you do with something that size that bothers me.
As you know, my sitcom series, which is still out there in limbo, Hoy Couch Your Pumpkins, has definitely got a mile to go. I think we've got the official mascot already and set to go here.
Absolutely.
Well, we just had the official announcement there from Tom Farmer Tom, of course. The weight is...
239.5 kilos. It's impressive.
Yes, nobody's actually able to convert it to pounds as yet, but we're still staying with our pre-Brexit moments here at the Ork Maze.
Yes. Yes, I mean, I work in old money, I have to say, but 239.5 for the youngsters will...
significant.
Yes. That is not a small pumpkin.
I think we're getting the conversion now into pounds, or will in a few seconds. And Becca has actually come up with the whole thing, proving that obviously a wife can actually know pounds and ounces from that point of view. 528 pounds.
Yeah, that's very, very heavy.
I'm tempted to give a round of applause, but everybody's sitting sort of so quietly. It's like a church service here. So I think obviously Oliver, who spoke to earlier, pretty proud with respect to that.
Yes, he's smiling that quiet smile. We'll see what the rest of it brings.
Now, first fur, we spoke to the earlier pumpkin grower. We've now got the person responsible for the second pumpkin. And your name, sir?
That's
it. Yeah, he's been summoned. He's been summoned to the whole thing from that point of view. Currently in discussion with Tom Piercy, so this is quite exciting.
Yes, I've got to make sure that everything is above board and it's all been done very fairly. So
Tom's got his green clipboard out, so this is very significant from that point of view.
They technically class it as a squash, not a pumpkin. But
a squash?
I'm calling it a green pumpkin. So
Sue, your thoughts on that? Is this a squash or is this a pumpkin?
Well, it looks like a pumpkin to me, but...
Well done, Ian. Well done.
You know, better luck next time, I think.
Well done,
Ian. Yes, the competition's stiff this year.
We congratulate you. Sue, any questions for you?
Yes, how did you manage to grow yours so big?
Well, it all goes down to the spreading of the manure on the...
I'm glad you said that, Ian, because I did feel that there's not enough manure in the world today.
Yes. A good half tonne of manure on the patch, and then just constant watering and feeding and the nitrates that go into it.
Now, undaunted by this, will you be back for 2017 and the next giant pumpkin competition?
Most definitely, yes.
And what is it about growing giant pumpkins that really appeals?
I think it's just the hard work you have to put into it, really, and then you get something out at the end of it, which is you see the fruits of your labour.
Well, David's all set to actually get you taking your exam. Final closing thoughts, sir?
Well, I'm impressed by the two so far, so we'll see what the other competitors have in their arsenals.
Okay, folks, well, this is the moment where we're just about to step into Colonel Curl's Halloween House of Corn Fusion. Think about gravity, think about nothing. What are you expecting, Sue?
I have absolutely no idea. The only thing that I can see is some very confused-looking corn, the cob, and an awful lot of smoke.
Dylan?
Yeah, I'm not very good with things that kind of move and I can't see what's going on.
Prepare yourself for a whole new world. Are you looking forward to this, Bridget?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, but as long as it's called Confusion and as long as it's scary, because it says Haunted House Halloween, Haunted House of Corn Fusion. So I'm hoping for Confusion and Halloween stuff.
So we've been through the gravity room, we've been through the distorted upside down room, and Dylan, we've survived.
Yeah, I thought the thing that swirled round with the lights, I thought, yeah, I know what's happening here, but I got halfway across and suddenly
nauseous.
I started to move and the platform, and I really struggled to get through the end, and it was only, what, 10, 15 feet?
I've found over the years the trick is you keep your eyes closed and just keep moving forward.
Yeah, and then the gravity room, and I thought, yeah, that's just a room on the slant. But actually, walking through, I can think, if you were on a ship that was sinking, how difficult would it be to get out of that? Because it was just, you're just disorientated.
Sue?
Wow. Absolutely amazing. I don't think I've ever been into a haunted house or any other house of illusions quite like that. That was absolutely epic and also very nauseating.
And without the killer clowns, which they get later. Bridget?
Can we go in again?
I think she found it suitably confusing. Fantastic news. Tom Piercy is with us. Tom, of course, you may be delighted to know you're also featured in the 2017 calendar.
Hopefully not topless.
No, not this time, actually, no, but looking obviously in top form as ever.
Page 3 stunner.
Strangely, no. Not that either, but you are in good form, and you will receive your copy probably through the post, unless you'd like to come to the studio collection one of these
things. Thank you very much, Alex. Thank you.
As you may be aware, it's the first time that we've introduced the Rice family to the maze. Dylan already wants to speak to you about fear in a few moments. Sue, your thoughts of the event?
It's been absolutely fabulous, particularly the little Halloween House of Corn Fusion, which really was very confusing. Really was very good.
She's on message, isn't she? Confusing. Oh, yes. Confusing.
David would be proud of her. You know, he's a... Dylan.
Yeah, this is a really nice day out, you know. It's just like the sort of day out that I used to remember when I was a kid. You know, you come in here
and you have nostalgia.
Yeah, and you sort of run about and loads of places for the kids to go. It's a sort of simple, kind of nice day out, you know. I enjoyed this.
And it creates so many positive memories. I mean, that's the thing, Tom. I mean, what you've got here is something which people do remember. Bridget, has she fled the scene then?
She's gone to the sandpit, which is great. The nice thing about the sandpit, it's not just, you know, playing in the sand's great, but there's lots of, like, mechanical things to do and stuff like that, so she's really into that because she's getting a bit older now and about 8, so she doesn't want the real baby things, but there's lots to keep her entertained in there. She was the corn fusion thing, she was just taken by that, you know.
Went in twice.
Yeah. Oh, why not free to enter. Yeah. As many turns as you like.
And I don't feel very well now.
So you wanted to speak to Tom briefly about fear, because obviously Hallow Scream is the big one. Bridget, probably a wee bit too young for Hallow Scream, but maybe you'd like to just talk about fear for a few moments?
Yeah, that's right. I'm quite interested in this idea of children and fear and exposing children to the right amount of fear. And what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, it's very difficult, actually. We can see behind us the gateway into our nighttime attraction, Hallow Scream, and that's we've separated it out completely from the daytimes now. So previously we had some scary attractions for adults out in this area, but the younger kids, weren't open in the daytime. But, you know, kids always ask the question, why can't we go in that? Why can't we go in that? Well, because we think it's a bit too scary. No, we'll be fine. We'll go in. It's like, no, you won't. And so the nighttime area, we have a guide of 14 as a minimum age. We call it 40 days, so it's an advisory age of 14. You know, we had a kid down here with his mum the other night. He was 11, and parent took them round. You know, for me, I think it's totally irresponsible, but she took them round and said that the child didn't find it scary enough. And it's puzzling.
Social services.
Yeah, I mean, my son's 11, and, you know, I let him to go into some of the attractions on a daytime when there are no actors in, and I'm with him, and, you know, he's fine with that, but I would never think of putting him through there at night when there's actors and things. And, you know, I think, you know, everyone knows their kids better than I do, so we try and put advisories on it and say 14, as, you know, and some 14-year-olds find it terrifying. You know, I would have thought 15, 16 is probably a good age to go through it.
It's the right amount of sort of tension, I suppose. I was watching the kids coming down the big slide.
Yeah.
And coming out of the end of that, it's almost like the mouth of the slide. Yeah. The look on their face, they were going, "Oh, that was really scary." And then they light up because they've been excited by it.
That's a kind of similar thing. It's fear, but not, you know, the jump scare, horrific fear that we're doing around there. That's, you know, the fear of the unknown, you know, going down the drop slide. You know, they feel like it's dangerous, but surely they wouldn't let us do this if it was dangerous. And, you know, like you say, they go down, they get to the end, and they're exhilarated, and they, gosh, you know, I want to do that again. And a lot of the things we do here, we're not trying to expose children to danger, but we're trying to expose them to things that challenge them. We've got a lot of climbing equipment that is quite challenging. You know, basically I built the place as I wish to treat my kids, and I think I like to challenge my kids. I like to allow them to do things that are dangerous to an extent, but dangerous to the point where they will learn from it, you know, that they will become older and wiser. And I don't know if you picked up one of the leaflets on the way in, but we have some notes in there, and one of the things says on there, you know, we do not believe in wrapping you in cotton wool. We will do all we can to make sure your day is safe, but, you know, we're not going to mollycoddle you, and you may trip up, you may bang an elbow. Please don't sue us. You know, we're trying to give everyone something they can enjoy. And, you know, luckily the vast majority of the people do enjoy it. They come along and they buy into the whole idea and have a great day out.
When you're designing the whole park, I suppose, or the whole thing, is it something you sit down there with a plan and an idea, and do you take advice on what is going to be challenging for children, or is it just your own gut feeling?
No, I think quite a lot of it's kind of evolved, you know, over the time that we are open, and we see all the people here and, you know, talk to them and find out what they've enjoyed, what they haven't enjoyed, what they would like to see. And again, a lot of it's just things that I like. it's kind of a pet project. And, you know, it's a bit
Thunderbird,
like
Star Trek, all the greats.
Yeah, and it's a bit like
James Bond.
It's a bit like Kevin Costner in Field of Dreams. You know, if you build it, they all come. And, you know, I sort of built something that I think is nice, and luckily lots of other people think it's nice, and they come along and enjoy it. So that's right.
You are the Willy Wonka of Yorkshire, let's face it.
I've been called similar things.
Sue.
Yeah, so, you know, as a farm child growing up on a farm, it's a wonder any of us farm children ever survived, to be perfectly honest. And it's great to see that you don't mollycoddle them, you don't put them in cotton wool, because that's where they have that opportunity to learn that actually, you know, if you're not careful, that is going to happen to you. So, you know, learn the lesson.
Yes, we like people like you.
Well, there we have it, you see. Bridget's obviously still enjoying herself. Tom, it's been fantastic as ever. Continue doing our phone links with your good self and all the rest of the bits and pieces. Any clues in terms of 2017? What's possibly in the offing for that?
As usual, I'm sure you ask me this time every year, and I always pretend that I know exactly, but I can't give any clues away. And you always know the fact is I haven't even thought about it yet, because we're so busy doing Halloween. It's not on the horizon, although I have heard mutterings that it's an important Star Wars anniversary.
Well, there is that, of course, exactly. You know, 1977, 2017...
It was an excellent vintage, Alex.
Peter Beale, of course, producer of Star Wars, who's joining us on the show in a couple of weeks' time. Oh, so, you see, it all connects.
Brilliant. Lovely, lovely, lovely.
Tom, it's been an absolute delight. As ever, we're probably too late for the pantomime now. It's just passed us by, but never mind.
Fear not. There's another at 3:30.
Well, then, we'll do that at 3:13, then.
You're supposed to say, oh, no, there isn't.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is.
Well, we're almost at the stage where we're beginning to wrap up, and normally I ask the team what their favourite highlights have been from the event today. Well, Bridget and Dylan are now lost officially in the maze somewhere in Willy Wonka's head, so that leaves Sue and myself in the coffee and tea zone, as I like to refer to it, of the York Maze. Sue, your highlights from Countryside Live and the York Maze in this epic double up extravaganza that we've called a location report for October.
It's been an absolutely amazing day. There have been so many things that have been absolutely fantastic, but I think that the highlights, if I was going to pick one from each event, I think it would have to be the House of Cornfusion at the maze, and it'd have to be Bridget interviewing Greg Wallace. I think that is a memory that will stick with her for a very long time.
I give thumbs up certainly to both of those, but I'd also perhaps have honourable mentions for the Fudge Man at the Countryside Live. Nigel Pulling, I thought, was on good form. And, of course, the way in which Farmer Tom Piercy, of course, the legend that is TP, actually dealt with those phenomenally sized pumpkins. I think hats off to Farmer Tom as well.
Yes, and hats off to the fact that they didn't drop any of them. I was slightly concerned, but no, they all returned to the ground safe and sound.